take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Okay, folks, here we go. It is time for the Bob Ryan. Jeff Goodman is on the road. You can tell because he's got his Barry White voice. Tangway Along for the Ride podcast. I mean, Bob, Goodman's beat up a little bit. I mean, he's got some road woes.
See
on.
My eyes. Oh, yeah. My eyes.
You know what, voice. Dude? You look like shit.
I know. Listen, all right. So here's the take.
Where are you?
So I'm in Austin, Texas. But so Tuesday, I'm at Champions Classic in Indianapolis, and I'm with my daughter. You know, she goes to school at Indiana, so it's like a home game for her. It's about 50 minutes from Bloomington to Indy, and the Champions Classic was there. So it was great. I got her credential, able to, you know, cover a Champions Classic with my daughter, like nothing better, nothing better. And first game is I have a flight out the next morning at 7 a.m. to Austin, Texas for Wednesday. It's Gonzaga at Texas. So I know I got to get up. The wake up, I think, was 4:45 in the morning. Okay. So first game, is the Kentucky game, Michigan State, and it goes, Gary, double overtime.
Yeah.
Double overtime. And these things generally, you know, first one starts at 7, and normally the second one you're going to get lucky if it starts by 9:45. So you add double overtime, and you're looking at got back to the room, I think, at 2 a.m., and I'm like, and then the pressure's on, right? You're getting back, and you know you got to be up in, you know, 3 hours and or got 2 hours and 45 minutes, and you're thinking. So you can't sleep right away. My daughter fell asleep first, and she started snoring loud. So I didn't fall asleep till 4, woke up at 4:45, did not sleep on the plane. And then last night, I won't lie to you, after the Texas game ended, I went out with some people. And so it's been a couple back to back.
Okay, we'll wrap up the show with some college thoughts, but your daughter will never speak to you because you told her everybody that she snores. Here we go. All right, today's show is driven by Bet Online, your number one source, I should say, for all your sports betting for football and basketball this season, and by LinkedIn Talent Solutions. They will help you find the right people for your team fast and free at LinkedIn Jobs. Okay, so let's start with the Boston Celtics, Bob Ryan, because right now they are on the top of the heap.
What is most impressive to me is the fact that they have done what they've done in the most recent days without Brogdon, or last night without Smart. And their depth is impressive. It is impressive. And there's one guy in particular, there's two guys I want to add Jeff about. One is he properly questioned, and I did not have any objection, the idea that Sam Hauser could be useful by simply saying that we got to see him make these shots when it really matters, you know. And now we're not in the finals, we're not in the playoffs, but the fact is he looks like he could be a very important component in this team as they hoped he would be.
Yeah.
And that's number one. And number two is Luke Kornet.
I knew this was coming.
Is this a mirage or is he going to be useful? I mean, last night he was a two-way asset.
Yeah.
And four blocks and coming with one really fantastic block and did his thing. He did an old-fashioned big man game. God love him. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Hauser, we know, can shoot it. And he's on the perfect team right now because they've got enough offensive weapons that it's really hard to press up on Sam Hauser. But you kind of have to, right? Because he gets rid of it so quickly, and he's out there for one reason. Shoot the ball, right? Shoot the ball. Missoula will yell at him if he passes up an open three. So Hauser, I'm okay with now. Like Kornet, he is what he is. I mean, he's a rotational big that's going to get some minutes because Robert Williams is hurt, and you don't want to play Horford too many minutes, especially on back-to-backs or whatever. So I think, yeah, I mean, listen, when I talked, Tatum was at the game the other night, So I talked to him for a little while at halftime of the Duke game. He was there to support Duke and John Shire. And I was saying to him, I'm like, yeah, once you guys get Rob Williams back. And he was like, yeah, like it's going to change. Like you could just see. And, you know, the big thing I asked him was, why are you so much more efficient this year than you have been? And he just said, like, we're picking up where we left off last year. Right. He's got that confidence. You can see it now for the most part. But yeah, I think Hauser will be a good rotational piece now, who, again, you can afford to have him out there defensively with this group. You know, he's a liability, but if you've got four other guys, the rest of their team can guard. I mean, their entire team is good defensively. You know, their top seven or eight are really good. And then you add Robert Williams in, and Hauser's perfect for them.
And he is doing what they thought and hoped that Gallinari would do. He is simply doing, this is exactly what they hoped they would get from Gallinari.
Even better, because he's a better shooter. It's just he didn't have the rep coming in where Gallo, even if he's not making shots, people in the league have to respect him because he's done it for a long period of time. Hauser's the opposite, right? Hauser hasn't proven it at all. But if he starts to make them, you got to respect him out there.
Next guy up that has to get credits is White. That was a tremendous two-way game he played last night. And he, it's very timely without Smart, but he looks the way, you know, once again, if this is the real deal, this is a very useful player.
I mean, Derek White, you know, has paid a lot of money for kind of the numbers he puts up and even kind of his role, but ultimately Derek White's perfect. You know, probably a little bit more money than you want to pay for his contract, but man, he's the ultimate team guy. He can guard. He can run the team. He can make shots. He's not been consistent with that area more than anything else, but he does everything else. And he just gives you, you know, these days you need you need multiple ball handlers. You need multiple guys who can make plays off the bounce. Multiple guys who can make plays for themselves and others. And they have that. They have that. They're always going to have two guys on the court that can run the team. And none of, like, Marcus Smart has been so much better this year. That's not naturally what he does, but you pair him with Brogdon, with Derek White. Tatum can do some of it. Like, that's what they have, that length, that versatility. I love White for what he is.
Yeah. And one other guy, you know, that's played well lately is Pritchard. And seizing his opportunity from the minutes he's getting that would obviously have gone to Brogdon, but that this is the guy, this is who they wanted, you know, who he's supposed to be too.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you can't count on half court shots every night. We'll give him that. I think that's a one off, but no, really seriously, he, and his scrappiness and is energetic, you know, for the team. It's really good.
Jeff, I'm going to start with you because you know some of these players from their college days, and you just did talk to Tatum, so you probably have some insight here. Is why did this team survive and thrive through a coaching scandal? Because that's what it was.
Yeah, I think because they already had momentum. They had already kind of figured themselves out at that point. You know, Ime helped with that, right, to get them turned around, to get their kind of roles figured out and get them playing together. That was the biggest thing. You know, to me, it was always like Tatum and Brown looked like they had never played basketball together. And then they kind of started to figure it out. And when the other guys fell in line, and again, you bring in guys that know how to play now. Like, that's the other thing you're bringing in. And it's no surprise that Brad Stevens would want that, right? You know, Brogdon, Derek White, those are two guys that know how to play. And you add Al Horford to that equation. A healthy Al Horford, he knows how to play. So, like, guys are making the right plays now. It is just amazing to me that a year ago at this time, we were like, we hate this team.
Another guy, I mean, it's just like we're going right down a checklist of guys we have to commend. And here's another guy, Grant Williams. You talk about shooting with confidence and knows how to play. My favorite play he made last night, though, is when he got that one up fake on the right baseline and made that beautiful move to the hoop after, you know, it's a basketball play. Anybody should be able to make, but it was nice.
What I'll say too is, like, Jaylen Brown, that progression, obviously Tatum, we've seen the progression, right? Like, he's gone from I think 2 years ago, I did tweet that like he was a top 10 player at that point. And I got a lot of pushback, a lot.
Oh, yeah. People, I like, can see that.
Because at that point, he was like a fringe top 10 player. That was probably a little bit of a stretch. Now, if I said Jason Tatum is a top 3 player or 5 player in the NBA, nobody's arguing if I say he's a top 5 player. Nobody's arguing. So he's made that progression. Jaylen Brown has really made a progression over the last couple of years. So all those kind of role guys, so to speak, don't have to do as much because those are going to be your guys. Everybody knows it. And pretty much they don't have those horrible nights that they had 2 years ago. Right. Tatum's been incredibly consistent. And Jaylen Brown, his shot's been a little inconsistent.
Yeah, but I want to stop you there for a minute. While you're talking about the differences, it was the OKC game, right, that a year ago they lose.
Yeah.
Right? They're down double digits. They didn't show up. And they go, oh, okay, now we're going to start to play. I mean, you know.
You can afford a bad game. You can afford – you're not getting as many out of Tatum or Brown, but what you can do is you can afford a bad game because now – like Grant Williams is capable. Grant Williams can get you 18 on a given night. We know Brogdon when he's healthy can. Derek White having a great game last night. Al can give you on his best night. He can give you 20. It's just it's remarkable to what Tatum and Brown and working together and playing off one another and being more consistent enable the rest of the team to be able to do. I mean, Tatum gets doubled every time he touches the ball now for the most part. So nobody else does. Everybody else, Jaylen Brown doesn't get a lot of double teams anymore or never did, but he doesn't get them now. He's able to take advantage of Tatum getting those. So I without Robert Williams, again, Tatum's eyes just lit up when I said that to him. I'm like, when you get Robert Williams back, he looked at me, he's like, oh yeah, like, he knows.
The fact remains that when we get to the spring, they must have Robert Williams. What's happening now is nice, and they're doing it despite, and once again, this is we ticked this line around a while since Brad Stevens said it, and I heard it with his own lips. We need to keep our head above water before we get Robert Williams, and we've been speculating, what does that mean? I think we didn't think it meant being 12-3 when an 8-game winning streak 15 games into the season. Didn't have to be that good, but they're certainly keeping their end of the bargain up in that regard, you know, so they get the big guy to give them, make them whole and give them a really complete team.
Yeah. Right, guys, we're going to wrap up the Celtics here. We're going to get into some teams that are not doing so well coming up. But first, I have to tell you that BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting for football and basketball this season. You can always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. Always your continued source for sports wagering info. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. Well, they are the fastest and easiest way to bet with all your favorite NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf games and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Also, folks, LinkedIn Jobs. They can help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hire versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your jobs for free at LinkedIn.com/scribe. That's LinkedIn.com/scribe to post your jobs for free. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, now let's get to the Warriors, Bob. I went in on the road despite Steph had 50 the other night. They are off to a 5-9 start. What do you make of all this?
They're getting older. And Klay Thompson is shooting 33% in threes. That's not good. And that tells you something you need to know about his comeback. I have I was not ready to see that James Wiseman was sent down to the G League.
Me either.
That's something that now Jeff may know. It's been all over the case of, you know, the positive case of what James Wiseman could mean for that team. So Jeff, I tell you what, you know, what, how surprised, you know, have you been paying that close attention that didn't surprise you that that happened?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I talked to somebody yesterday about it and they just said like Wiseman's not ready yet. You know, maybe it's maturity. Maybe it's that he's been hurt a bunch. Maybe it's that the system is a little bit more difficult for a big for James Wiseman to pick up right now. As much as it's Wiseman, I think it's some of those, like, I think it's Jordan Poole. Like, Jordan Poole gets that contract, right? 4 years, $125 million or whatever it was, $120 million. And he's been very average. He does not look like he's worth that. And again, I get it. Like, you got Steph, you got Clay, you got to be loyal to Clay, obviously. But he's not going to be the same player. And he was offended when somebody said he's not, you know, the same player. And rightfully so. I forget who said it. I think it might have been Barkley or somebody like that. Said, like, he's not close to the same player. And Clay was like, no kidding. I missed 2 years. Of course I'm not going to. And he's older. He's not going to be the same player anymore. I just wonder, like, are they going to dig out of this? Because their bench, which was thought to be a major strength, all these young guys, right?
Kuminga.
I didn't understand this. Everybody was saying, like, kissing Kuminga's ass. And I'm like, what has he done? What are we doing with Jonathan Kuminga? He comes in and he's super talented. But, like, Jonathan Kuminga's done nothing. So let's slow it down a little bit. To me, it's about Jordan Poole. To me, Jordan Poole's the key here. And if he's average and not making shots, and you do wonder, Gary, how much did that Draymond Green Jordan Poole altercation throw this team off chemistry wise? How much did it affect Jordan Poole? You know, Draymond, it probably didn't affect him. He probably, you know, again, felt bad for a day or two and forgot all about it. But my guess is Jordan Poole didn't. He was embarrassed. He was embarrassed in front of the country, you know, getting punched basically, and everybody saw it. And I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be able to dig out of this.
Just as an aside, guys, I once covered a game in which Larry scored 50 in defeat. The difference was in that one, it was a close game. I'll never forget the end of the game. Brad Davis, who was a very good 3-point shooter, was coming
Dallas
up
Mavericks.
A crucial moment. I was sitting right, so I was right in proximity to the arc, you know, and Danny is guarding it. I'm almost wanting to yell to Danny, get up on him. And he didn't. And he drilled a three that basically won the game. But anyway, I saw Larry get 50. But it's not that common that I'm sure in the history of the game that and 50 doesn't result in a guy being on the winning side. But it does happen on occasion. It happened last night.
Now, speaking of Danny, let's go to the Utah Jazz. And I'm going to tie this into what's going on with the Warriors. Danny, I believe the intention was to tank. When they made the deal. Now, they've lost three in a row, but, you know, Markkanen is averaging 21 points a game. They're off to a fast start. Probably not going to be able to keep it up, but I guess this is a two-pronged question. First, let's start about the Jazz in general, and then we'll talk about the West overall, because I think that does impact the Warriors. What do you make of the Jazz and their start, Bob?
Oh, it was very impressive to start. And you're wondering now if what happening is something of a market correction that, you know, and I have a feeling it's what it is now. But, you know, certain people, like, I've always been I've been interested in marketing from the time he came in the league. He's had a nice start the deal, the trade, everybody, you know, said, oh, they're going to tank, and they got rid of Rudy and all that. I think they're surprised out there. I don't think they really expected this in the management. And of course, they have a new coach, Will Hardy, and young fellow, the Celtic pedigree and all that. But I think I'll be curious to see next week what we look back upon. And
where
see
they are.
But I got a feeling that this is a classic market correction taking place.
Coming back to earth, and they will be Utah. You'll look at Utah at the end of the year, and here's what we're going to say. Man, if they had only sucked that first couple of weeks, they would have had a shot at Victor or Scoot Henderson.
That's what Danny's thinking.
No doubt. It was a awful thing to happen to the Utah Jazz. In a way, the only thing that it could help Danny with, and I think he's going to miss on the window a little bit, is maybe being able to deal some of these guys that have increased trade value. You know, maybe you can move a Markkanen. Maybe you can move a Colin Sexton or somebody like that a little bit easier because, you know, they've been a part of some winning. Can they get in the playing game? Because right now, I think they're going to be out of the equation for one of those, bottom three, or top three picks in the NBA draft. I think it's going to be too hard right now. So I think at this point, you're like, maybe we can make the playing game and get some momentum. And yeah, we're going to have to find a really good player in the draft.
Who's the mortal lock to be in the Derby, do you think? Is it Detroit?
Houston? I would say Houston.
Houston, yeah. Who did pull one off?
I think Houston's the worst team in the NBA. I think they're the worst team.
You're right. That I.
And the Lakers, listen, I think the Lakers need to shut down. And I don't know how you do it because it's hard to shut down LeBron at his age. But you're going to.
You know, you could tank in Houston, but can you tank in Los Angeles?
Well, I think you have to at this point.
You do. I just think it's hard to do.
Of course it is. It's going to be fascinating. You're absolutely right. I'm just thinking that, Gary, that is the normal – that not normal. That is the most logical thing that you would say, looking at where they are and what chances they have of improvement don't appear to be on – certainly not on the current roster. That's for sure. And you're right. But it is L.A.
Could you trade the pick too? I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you're the Lakers and you get, like, not number one because you're not trading the number one pick if you get it, you can't. But if you got, like, the number three pick – you would just say, hey, we're going to trade it and try to get somebody who can help us win now and change.
Yeah, so they can go get Bronny.
Bronny. Bronny's the savior. Bronny's the savior.
Yeah. They go get Bronny. But what about the West now? Because one of the things when I look at the league, you talk about like a Golden State team, you know, can they dig out because of parity? There are a lot of really good young players, and there's a lot of talent spread across the league right now. And you're starting to see some MVP candidates, whether it's in Dallas or, you know, whether it's going to be here in Boston. And, you know, some of the legends are fading, like in Brooklyn. We'll get to that in a minute. But, I mean, Bob, what do you think?
I don't think there's any great team at all.
Yeah. There. But does that's bad for Golden State.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, names come up. Memphis was a team that looked like it, you know, was with a bullet, as we say, on the rise. And Ja Morant is still incredibly spectacular. Portland, you got to talk about Portland.
Are
they for real?
Yeah.
That is a question there.
I'm rooting for, listen, I love the Celtics, but I'm rooting for Portland, Bob, because I love Damian Lillard. And the fact that the guy's in Portland, I think he's a great player. I'd love to see Portland in the finals so the rest of the casual fandom can know who this guy is.
And I like Portland as a franchise. They have been an enthusiastic fan base from day one back in 1970. And you know, I like to see something good things happen in Portland. It's like a high school.
But do we believe this? We believe this more than we believe Utah, obviously. Yeah. Obviously, because they've got a star. But do we really believe Portland is a true contender?
They could get, you know something, Jeff? This is what I'll say, and you guys know that. I will say that Portland could get to the finals, but they're never going to win it because they're not going to beat anybody from the East.
Yeah. Yeah. And the West is weak. Listen, let's face it. The Clippers and Lakers, you know, like we thought they'd be in it with Golden State. Those were the three. And they look, all of them look, you know, not beatable.
So we're ignoring the elephant, kind of maybe not an elephant, but some kind of large animal in the back of the room. The best team is Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not dominant.
They're not dominant.
No. And I said, the West isn't that great. I mean, it's a lot of mediocrity. There's a lot of parity. There's a lot. Right. But if I had to pick one, and it would be Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to root for Portland, but Bob's right. I saw the headline. I mean, you know, you see it on the Kyrie Penning return. And I don't know if I just sound like I'm just so done.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love his game, but my God, what the hell's going to happen? I mean, look, Udoka, they tried to hire him. That was a catastrophe. He had to go. And do you guys have a take on this? I mean, I'll start with you, or Bob. I don't care.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jim.
I mean, listen, it's their only chance. I mean, they can't win without him.
I know.
So it's like, what do? You again, we kind of knew this coming in. It was going to be a little bit of a stretch. But, you know, I just don't know how they can figure this out at this point. I just think it's too much of a mess. But, again, if you have Kyrie and KD and a healthier Ben Simmons, you can win some one-off games. You're just not going to win a series. You're not going to beat
anybody. Because it's the ultimate tease. I mean, Bob, I'll let you jump in here. I mean, you know, whenever I see him play, you forget all of it. That's what's so frustrating.
Oh, well, that's a great – well, the thing about him is that the whole package is just so complex. Kyrie Irving is one of the most handful of most talented guards that's ever played this game. And he's an extraordinarily talented player, but he also is a very complicated human being. And without, you know, there's no question. And this comes into play. It's become the story as opposed to the ball playing right now. And can you live with him? Is it worth it? That is the thing with him. And Jeff's right. That this is the classic, you know, almost a Ann Landers thing. I can't live with him. I can't live without him, you know, and this kind of thing. So, meanwhile, you know, you got him, you got the complexity of, two of your three best players, your key players have issues that transcend what happens on the court. Right. And Simmons, of course, and in his case, you've got a further complicating factor is that he has the oddest game of consequence in the history of this league. There has never been a player of consequence who has been so lopsided in his strengths and weaknesses. And as him and brings to the table, you know, the brings a package such as on the court, such as he brings. Now, meanwhile, he's been hurt and you're not even getting the benefit of the good things that he does, you know. So I can't see all this ever falling into play. And meanwhile, I'll shut up about this. KD goes out every night, does what he does, which is play great basketball. and this is weighing on him that all this peripheral problem.
I mean, for all this, guys, for all this, they're a couple games out of the playoffs right now. So, like, listen, they could easily, if you get Kyrie back, be a playoff team. If they avoid Boston and Milwaukee in the first round, right? If they somehow avoid them, which is going to be hard because, I mean, that means you got to get in that really, you know, sixth spot. You know, then you're talking about, but like Indiana's in the sixth spot right now. It's 7-6. Brooklyn's 6-9. See a scenario where Kyrie comes back and they end up getting the sixth seed. It's not out of the question.
Oh, sure. But this is a team, when this team was put together, well, I should hold up here.
Yeah, their expectations.
Expectations are crazy. I mean, we experienced Kyrie in Boston, so we were a little hesitant. But when they put this team together, we were like, oh, my God, they're going to win it. I mean, they're going to the finals. You know, that's just not it. Before we wrap up, I know Bob is interested in your take, Jeff, as people get a peek into your life, your glamorous life on the road.
So glamorous.
Covering so glamorous. At the Fairfield Inn or wherever he is. Or
residence. Well, I think it's a residence inn.
Yeah, you don't even know, right? You know, he's just going.
No idea.
So,
a member of the Marriott family.
They're all the same.
Is owned by Marriott. So what do you got, Jeff? Fill us in on what you're seeing for teams and players.
Well, it's more Champions Classic, I think, is you know, finally we got some good games because we hadn't really gotten any good games the first week, Gary, and that's where college basketball has failed. And two nights ago, you had Kentucky playing Michigan State, and to be honest, Tom Izzo outcoached John Calipari at the end. And not really a surprise. I mean, Tom Izzo is considered one of the best X's and O's guys in the country, and John Calipari is considered one of the best motivators and recruiters in the country. And a Michigan State team that isn't nearly as talented ended up beating Kentucky. Kentucky had multiple chances to beat them. and didn't. And it went into double overtime and Michigan State won. And they got a collection of like good players, not great players. And then the second game was Duke, Kansas. And, you know, you're thinking Duke, Kansas, you're thinking Coach K against Bill Self. Well, this was John Shire against Norm Roberts because Coach K retired and Shire took over and Bill Self's on a 4-game suspension. And Bob, I don't know what you think of this. So Bill Self was in Indy and he was with the team. It's a self-imposed 4-game suspension. He was with the team all day, the day before the game, up until like 11:55 PM in meetings, in practice and whatever. And then he stayed at a different hotel and watched the game. Probably, I don't know for a fact, but from his hotel room. And then flew back with the team after I read that.
I laughed at the whole, and I just never occurred to me the pun here, the self-imposed sanction. How good is Kansas?
Well, I mean, they can't really score. You know, they got Jalen Wilson, who's a veteran, and then this freshman Grady Dick, who was awesome for a 2-minute spurt towards the end of the game, but they don't have a lot of scorers, so they'll be challenged that way. You know, I saw Texas Gonzaga last night, and Gonzaga is not your typical Gonzaga team. So there's not a dominant team right now. You know, you look at Houston. I haven't seen them yet in person. They're really, really, really good. Like Kelvin Sampson has a chance to win a national title. You look at Carolina. They have not looked good early. So you're saying to yourself, like, yeah, like Texas was great last night against Gonzaga, but they made shots, and I don't know if that's them. So I think there's a bunch of teams now, and I think we say this most years, there's not a lot of dominant teams. Kentucky's got the talent, and they've got the pieces that fit together. I just, again, I think a lot of us question whether John Calipari is the guy that if he doesn't have so much more talent right. than other guys, can he win another national title?
It's good to see Oscar Sheeve way back, though, and I reiterate, this is the best rebounder prospect best of the 21st century. I mean, he's the greatest rebounder coming out to college basketball in this 21st century, period.
Plays so hard, so hard.
Bob, what are you writing on Sunday?
I'm going to talk about the ever-increasing globalization of the NBA to the point where not only there's some superior players, as we know, the Antetokounmpos and the Jokic's and the Doncic's of the league. But just the fact is that 20% of the league, as opposed to players, born outside the United States of America. And
how many of the Celtics have? How many of the Celtics have?
I haven't even counted up. I haven't finished all my annotation yet.
I think nobody knows.
But
nobody of note, right?
No, yeah.
No.
But still, the idea of it and the idea of how we've progressed from the point of the first one, which was Georgi Gluchkov. And by the way,
who?
Georgi Gluchkov.
Big Georgie. Yeah, Big Georgie.
Played 1 year for the Suns and went back home and remains, this is my favorite tidbit, remains, he was Bulgarian. We have never had another Bulgarian.
Wow.
That's kind of amazing.
Situation.
That's weird.
I'm gonna have fun. I'm gonna try to have fun. You know, but and we finally got it. We got a father son now. You know, deal of greatness and the Sabonises. You know, so we've even into that realm. So anyway, I wanted to have some fun with that.
All right, Bob. We look forward to it. Jeff, safe travels. Bob, we'll talk to you next week. Read Bob in the Globe. And we have been brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs and by our good friends at Bet Online. We'll see you, fellas.